Yeah, and we do it for a reason: safety, property value, and I think that's, those are both big things for Orange. I mean, I think we're going to see if we have this. You know, I personally think property values on Land or Brainerd, I think some of those would go up a lot. It's a lot more attractive for families to move into an area like that where they don't have to worry about the safety of their children, you know, on Brainerd.
Just want to caution you, the last time this happened, there was letters asking for recall of public officials. We
Well, they can do that. That's
far.
Fine. I don't have a problem
so
with that.
And here's another thing. You know, sometimes people say, like, not on my property. Easy for you to say. I am happy.
Yeah, but...
Happy to say that I would welcome this path on my side of the street.
The problem is it's the other side of the coin.
It doesn't have to be. We can put a crosswalk, whatever.
The problem is the other side of the coin. When we talked about doing it in Orangewood, for example, everybody was really, I mean, the cost was one issue, of course. But the question was, well, is it going to be on my street? Well, we're just talking about the main street. Oh, I'm out. I'm not going to pay for something that's not on my street, but it's on the main street. That's the problem. I mean, as soon as you cut out some streets, those people are like, hey, what happened to us? And when you do the whole village, I don't know what that means, but it sounds expensive at first blush. Yeah, right.
I think some people might hate me, but I think a lot more people will like me. You know, I think this is something that, you know, in general, you know, some people like when there's new taxes, some people don't. I mean, I think it's like anything else, but on a little different scale. And, you know, will everybody love it? No. But will the vast majority think that it's an improvement to Orange? I think so.
It's an investment of $12,500 to get the facts and figures that you're all again. Sort of,
again. That we're all
did
somewhat
anybody make
familiar.
A motion to...
No, there was no motion.
I'll make a motion to do something. I'm not sure what.
With Banky?
It needs to be a little more specific.
Okay.
I will make a motion to hire,
thank you, Banky and Associates for $12,500 to run the initial study that we need to see if we can take this off the ground.
Except for the
okay.
public.
It's been moved and seconded.
That already eliminates the $12,500. Right. Already eliminates
everything here second. Except the public.
Mr. Bonk.
Right.
Mr. Bonk, second.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional discussion? Roll call.
Perry?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Parks?
Yes. Okay. Anything, Mr. Bonk?
No comment.
Mr. Braverman.
No, I'll pass tonight.
Mrs. Cluter.
Just comments?
Yes.
No, but we're entering a holy season, so blessed Easter and a happy Passover, and maybe spring will come after today. I wasn't so sure. But no, that's all I have. Thank you.
Groundhog lied.
Yeah.
I think we should also recognize the fact that the new Pope has chosen to name himself after Francis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he American?
No, he's from Argentina.
He's from South America.
Oh, wow.
But he decided to go with the name
but
Francis.
But he's a Franciscan. He's a Jesuit.
Jesuit.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Perry?
No comment.
My name is spelled with an E.
Okay. Doesn't show up on the agenda, but comments by the mayor?
Yeah, Mary.
We're moving to a strong council.
Yeah, I do have some things that I'd like to congratulate Brandon for getting us to that point. I didn't think I'd ever see this issue brought up again.
The enthusiasm of the youth. Uh-huh. The enthusiasm of youth.
Yeah, good. Orange Village was granted once again the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District Community Recycling Awareness Grant in the amount of $4,931. So we will have a 2014 recycling calendar.
It'll be like 3 months long.
Merger study proceeds according to schedule. They have just done a round of interviews with all the fire and police chiefs, and the study committee met today with all the fire and police chiefs. Nothing really to report. All they did was tell us what we already knew, but it's what they're going to do with that information that they now know that we'll see what comes out of it. One of the most basic location problem. We probably don't think about dispatcher, who we call, or who they are, or where they're sitting when you need your police or your fire. But for the last, as long as anyone here probably has a recollection, our 911 emergency calls go to a basement in the bottom of Chagrin Falls, Village Hall, that is not a very good workspace. But Chagrin Falls operated the dispatch, and we were contacting agency to Chagrin Falls along with six other communities. And we paid Chagrin Falls a fee, and they provided the service for us. And for many years, they did that and subsidized a lot of it. They didn't allocate or send along all the charges of doing it. And so we had the advantage of paying for a service and probably getting it below, you know, fair share market rate conditions. And Chagrin Falls tried to continue in that vein by putting up rebond levies to their residents of Chagrin Falls that was going to be used to reconstruct a police station and provide for an updated, safe, efficient workspace for the people that sit and answer our phones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sometime along those requests for a bond levy, Chagrin Falls also decided to formalize their arrangement with the seven other communities that go into the dispatch. Those communities that we share dispatch with are Bentleyville, Chagrin Falls Township, Chagrin Falls Village, Hunting Valley, Moreland Hills, South Russell, Woodmere, and ourselves. And you'll recall that a couple years ago, not much more than that, we entered into a Council of Governments, the Chagrin Valley Regional Dispatch Council of Governments, and we became no longer a contracting agency, but a full-fledged governmental partner. And we continued in the space that Chagrin Falls had made available for us, and 14 months or 16 months ago, it became clear that their bond levy, they were not going to go again, failed three times, we needed space. So all the partners in the Chagrin Dispatch got very busy last year looking for solutions, and you may have recalled me mentioning it from time to time, you certainly saw it in the paper, but there was a couple of options. We promoted and advocated for it to be housed in our church annex building, that space which was not necessary for the service department. Moreland Hills put up a site for a brand new building, separate and detached from any other governmental function. Chagrin Falls offered a few possible sites, but again, that represented brand new construction. An architect was hired to evaluate the different sites. They were between $1.3 and $1.7 million that would have, of course, necessitated our pro rata share of investment into creating a dispatch operation. So there's two components to running the dispatch. It's the capital expense of having it up and running, and then there's the yearly operational expenses of our share of the payroll and whatever it takes to keep the dispatch center operating. We have on our staff a very energetic and ambitious and very bright lieutenant, Nick DeCicco, who is very technologically savvy, and this project captured his fancy, and he jumped right in, and he advocated for the site that we were putting forth. He did a lot of the groundwork, and as you probably remember, that sort of fell apart because we could not come to an agreement. We just sort of dropped the project, and we were deciding to just, I don't know what we decided. We decided not to decide. We just didn't have a decision. One time we'd meet, Chagrin Falls would say we could stay in here for as long as possible, but then the next time we meet and they say as long as possible meant within 3 months, you know, we can't stay there any longer. So they went out and they got prices for upgrading the wires, and there was a large capital investment to upgrading their basement so that we could stay there temporarily. So credit to Nick DeCicco once again. Oh, and by the way, at that point when our partners seemed very determined. felt our partners were going in a direction that we did not feel was in the best interest of Orange Village, we started shopping around to see what, if any, other options exist for dispatch for Orange Village residents. We contacted Solon, we contacted Beechwood. There was, when our partners were looking at going to the most expensive possible option, those other options didn't look quite so unattractive. Then, because of our relationship with University Hospitals and Nick's involvement on a county level, countywide, in all the 911 funding and studies that are going on, both under the direction of the county executive and his representatives and just in general for the technology, he was approached about a possible space at the Bedford Hospital. And it was a space that had originally been sort of claimed by a different consortium of public safety access point communities, Bedford, Bedford Heights, Maple Heights, who were going to use the space at the Bedford Heights Hospital. And that fell through. Those communities did not go there. They wanted $1 million, you know, from the hospital in case they ever moved, and they wanted 25 years or unlimited lease terms. They wanted lease terms that were not realistic and that UH would not agree to. And I think they ended up going in the basement of Bedford. Bedford Heights. Anyway, so that cleared the space to be offered to our consortium of 8 communities. And this has not been an easy project to put together, to say the least. But I am very happy to report that as of the dispatch meeting on Saturday, 8 out of 8 communities agreed to the mechanism for allocating capital equipment costs and other fundamental decisions that now seem that we will have a state-of-the-art dispatch center for the residents of our 8 communities. Now, there's a couple components to it that you need to be aware of, and I'm just trying to give you a background of the history, because at the April Council work session, I'm going to ask Lieutenant DeCicco to present to this council more of the nitty-gritty detail specifics of it, but it's what it's leading me to say this council is going to have to do is, I don't know in what form, whether it's endorsement by motion or ordinance or whatever, but in order to get this up and running and operational by January 1st of 2014, the 8 communities are going to have to come up with their pro rata shares of the capital investment. Capital investment is $150-some thousand in leasehold improvements, and after that point, there is no charge to using the space. There's no utility, maintenance, there'll be no charges for the space, courtesy of University Hospital. And the University Hospital has this arrangement with the West Shore communities, Bay Village, Westlake, Lakewood, Fairview Park, and probably North Olmsted, that have the same setup over there. And then the rest of the money is in equipment, state-of-the-art equipment that, you know, has to be updated every so often anyways. Our share.
Does that mean everything will go to University Hospital?
It'll all be there.
Not there yet, but I mean.
If we were to leave.
All the calls.
Anytime you call 911, it will be picked up there. Physically, there'll be somebody sitting there that will answer the call.
And when the person is picked up, where will they go? That's my question.
When what person is picked up?
The reason for the call. The person who's calling has got a problem.
Will go.
All of ours will go to UH?
No.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, we'll go to UH.
All of our
calls. It doesn't change where we take our ambulance. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's all I'm asking.
This is just a physical thing.
I mean, they're not going to have any.
In India.
I guess
sitting in, you know.
They're not going to have any control over where we take our people.
No, Orange Village actually has University Hospital as our medical director, and so we do the vast majority of our calls.
Today, yeah, that's fine.
No, but some of our partners don't go to University.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
You know, Woodmere goes to Hillcrest, and Schwinn Falls goes to Hillcrest.
We're not obligated to go to any hospital.
Yeah, I'm just asking if it's some kind of a monopoly.
There's no deal that makes us have to feed the business into University Hospital as a result.
Okay.
You know, you might ask why they're doing it. Well, in order to keep their tax exempt status, they have to give so much in contribution to the
community. Yeah.
So that's, you know, okay, so the other thing, there's so many still moving parts on this, but the big news, and it is huge big news, is that the 8 leaders of the communities established the format for moving forward.
Don't they have to pay into the building fund?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. If we go to another community, again, as a contracting agency, we have no voice, no vote, no control, no say-so, and our costs will only go up. We have a little more control over our destiny. So I'd say we're looking at, it's like we're going into a business venture with seven other communities, we're gonna build it. Even if nobody else comes, Orange Village's capital cost should be returned to us due to non-increasing and maybe reductions in our annual operating costs, and certainly because we will have a say in the administration of the dispatch, because Nick DeSico will be the part-time administrator, and there will be some credit to Orange Village if it goes along that way. So we have a chance. And also, it's going to be an increase of service to our residents, because right now we have one dispatcher on duty at night, and part of the increase in the expense is because we will have to have two dispatchers 24 hours a day. But the improvement in service is something fire departments have wanted, because now if there's two dispatchers at the console, if somebody calls in, one dispatcher can stay on the phone and talk that resident through, you know, CPR or whatever the situation is, so it's emergency medical dispatching. Okay. Just look and make sure I got the term right. It's been a real long road getting to this point. I'm just giving you the background history because two reasons. Number one, to let you know that all stones have been turned over. We've looked at all options. This is about as basic of a governmental function as it gets in what we need to provide. And I'm thrilled to report that we have the framework of an agreement that, in addition to it working for the 8th, I see it as something that will be attractive and grow. And I have complete confidence in it, because this is, I know Nick, and Nick has been sort of tacitly given leadership of this, just because he's really the one that stepped up and took leadership of it, and now that's been officially acknowledged by the others. So our dispatch costs right now, that we have budgeted for 2013, is $129,000 a year. If we get one other community to join us, which it's looking good, our operating costs could go down to $111,000, less the credit we have for Nick's services. If a second agency were to join, we could get it down to $94,569 a year. You may not want to hear about the if come and if they may these, but there is one that is very close to joining us, and if they don't, we still are in the same place where we're at now. However, it does cost us our capital cost, which I will need probably, however Steve tells us, whether it's a motion, just somehow, because by July 1st, we have to order the equipment so that we're up and running by January 1st. Maximum is $121,000, but we're talking about leasing some of the things that will bring down the out-of-pocket costs up front. One of the communities is willing to consider advancing the money and being paid back over time, or we could just use our surplus, which is why we have it, and this is one of the most basic things we need. So yeah, it sounds scary because we have to put up a little bit more up front, but I remind you, we have not done this. Sugar & Foss has been doing it for us. And so welcome to the real world.
What is it we have? This is going to be in the hospital?
It's going to be located
in the basement.
And the COG has hired an attorney who is now negotiating the letter of intent and the contract. It will be a lease with Bedford Hospital to be in the basement of their facility, with us. 3,800 square feet, including space for a conference room that we have access to. So it's about 6,000 square feet for our use. And we would have two round-the-clock dispatchers housed there, and a supervisor.
So the capital costs are all for equipment?
About 80% of it is.
And the rest is going into the property?
$150,000 of it is to move walls and rearrange the walls and make them work for us. Now,
how long's the lease?
The lease is 10 years, but they have the right to ask us to leave after 3 years with a 2 years notice. Those are some of the details that are now being finalized in the agreement. But they will pay us back a pro rata amount $150,000 for each year up to 10 years, as it stood at the last, during the
the separate governmental agency.
Right, right.
Not we, the village.
Not the Orange Village, we as a one-eighth partner in the council of governments. The sharing is a blend between dividing it by eight and by usage. There was a lot of haggling back and forth on what that formula was going to be, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I can.
You know, we represented what we thought was best for Orange to as much as we could, and there was some compromises that were made, but I think the compromise we made represented about $6,000 over 10 years to get the deal to happen. And others made the same kind of compromises and decisions. The one thing I do want to say is, based on our experience and our relationship with UH, one thing we do know that we will obtain from being a tenant in the building is they are very helpful and agreeable to getting grants and writing grants and giving equipment. So I think in addition to getting free rent and all that, we will have another edge by being located there that it could be that there will be assistance, financial assistance with future technology needs and state-of-the-art equipment. So I can't think of anything wrong with it other than the fact that, you know, sure wish somebody else would continue paying more than their fair share so we could get the free ride, but I think that's over. I don't think it's over. I know it's over. And Nick and Chris, did I give the right information to lead into the detail? Did I think of everything? Okay, is anything left out? I mean, we've been living, breathing, eating this topic for about 14 months till we are sick to death of it. So I'm sort of, you know, not clear that I'm being at the level that you need me to be at, or if I'm giving all the information anyone up here needs to hear. So help me by asking any questions, or wait till next month and see Nick's presentation. But I guess I just want to leave you with the thought that we've probably come up with not only the best deal that's available, but one that's going to be even better than, you know, what we could have.
I have a question. And I don't think I heard you say this, but who's going to be in charge of hiring, firing, managing?
There's a technical advisory committee of the police chiefs that do this for the club. And
so
right now the payroll goes through Chagrin Falls. They've been the payroll administrator. They could either continue doing that. I mean, that's a discussion for down the road. That could change. But right now they've continued.
So how is it going to be staffed, like through Chagrin Falls?
That's how it's been.
Yeah, but Chagrin Falls. Yeah.
Oh, and so Chagrin Falls is not keeping their, they're in this too.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay, never mind. So, and that's worked great. So you just need somebody to take ownership of, right, we have obviously that now, it's wonderful. But taking charge of all that other stuff.
And maybe I'm overthinking this or over-explaining it. Maybe it's as simple to all of you as...
It's a good deal. I may not be able to vote for it, though.
Why? Did you work there?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
They're giving it away.
Yeah, well, they don't really benefit from it.
Well, the only issue that this council is going to have to address, and I want to talk to Dave about it,
is money.
And there's a timing issue as to when we need to do this, but it's appropriation of funds.
Right.
For contribution to the COG is actually making the buy, I believe.
And going into the lease, yes.
Yeah.
The COG is what?
The Council of Governments is actually the contracting entity with University Hospitals. All the village would be doing, the village is not going to have a direct contractual relationship with the
University
Hospitals.
Hospital?
And therefore, your vote is to pay money to the COG. The COG will then enter into the agreement with UH.
Okay.
So there's no direct conflict with there.
Good to know. Thank you.
So I don't, I, you know,
What's the timing of when you'd expect?
I would hope the council would at least, so that I can go back to the property owners and say, we're coming up with our share.
That's possible.
So I think in April.
And so there has not been money in this year's appropriation ordinance for this expenditure.
Mm. You know, this has been such a moving target.
For the annual contribution.
The
expenses and the leasehold.
So that's the legislative action that would be needed.
Could be by motion?
I'd want an ordinance. You have an ordinance for appropriations, you need to amend the ordinance by an ordinance for an appropriation.
And even when we do, that might not be the final one.
And gonna happen.
What?
That ain't gonna happen.
The highest possible it could be, because now we're gonna, you know, once we get these go pieces in place and authority, then we can negotiate with the equipment people and we get maybe, you know, possible leases and then we go talk to other communities. We could also borrow the money, but.
How many other communities could come on board?
There's one.
What's the capacity for? What's the?
I think there's room for 10 consoles, and so, but we're only interested in going after ones that don't require us to have more employees. So we could take about two more Orange Village sized communities, but if we were to attract like a Warrenville Heights or a Solon or something like that, that's a whole other animal.
Have to hire.
Then we have to pick up the additional.
Yeah.
Operating expenses, but I mean, we could do Highland Hills or North Vandal or Gates Mills or, you know, I don't know, that type will, you know, rethink, but, you know, our type of community. We also were approached by, the Bedford Heights Maple Heights Consortium, you know, because the county is advocating for fewer of these, not, they would like to see four or five throughout the whole county. They're not given any money to make that happen, and I don't think we'll be sitting here when, if that ever were to happen. Meantime, all 911 centers are funded through grant money for 10 more years for their equipment through the county, fundraising, apparatus. But Nick went to a meeting and the Bedford Heights made, it's not for us. Our residents can't call up and say Fluffy ran away. I mean, they wouldn't handle those kind of calls. So there are dispatch centers and there are dispatch centers, and we would like ours to continue being the resident-friendly, high-level service that we're all accustomed to. Chief, anything else that you would think?
No, Mayor, there's no way to explain to you folks how much time and effort we put into this, right down to the tire.
Well, we're gonna have to just keep it together for another couple months.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've been living and breathing this topic and it's just, but it's happening, it's finally, we found our way. So, all the mayors on Saturday said, okay, now we just have to go to explain it to our guests. And you can imagine the roar of groans that went up. But you guys get it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get it.
Nice.
Three times.
I have not told Mayor Gordon that, you know, which way we're going yet, because, you know, this is one of the pieces I have to put into place. But I will tell you that what we were offered there is not an economic advantage.
At Broad Beachport?
That it?
If everyone understands, I think.
Looks like it. All right, next item is the comments by the council president. I don't have any comments, but I would like to adjourn into a very brief executive session to talk about appointments and compensation of public employees. So,
I reluctantly move.
Very quickly. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. I'll second it. Roll call, please.
Perry. Perry?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Parks?
Yes.
Was that on the agenda?
No.
No. Okay. So for the audience, we're going to go into an executive session.
What are you going to do with your daughter?
Was it?
We
will not be making any decision, and there will be no additional comments after the meeting.
I would have to do it earlier than.
Let's do it. When are we getting our RFP? RFP from? I don't know. I mean, it was promised 3 months consistently. I know, we've got to do something. He sent out from Gates Mills, didn't he?
I gave you that. I thought that was more than adequate, because quite frankly, it's the presentation. The people who know what they're doing are going to know when you have clients or people ask for a presentation, you know what they need.
Yeah.
Better than the clients.
Right.
So that's why I said that thing
is just a question of whether we're,
It's a CY, that was a CYA. people influence on the legal material, I think it's relevant.
Oh, but I mean, that, then we'll have to send it out and see if we.
Well, you have to get what you get in the proposal. You have to get that done, right?